From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're going to talk some boxing here, rounds of boxing with the Bandit, man. We got a lot of boxing coming up in the next several weeks, even starting tomorrow. Depending on the time you listen to this episode, we're going to talk about this Errol Spence fight versus Carlos Ocampo. Undefeated versus undefeated, giving the fight back to the state of Texas and Dallas. It's been the first time in a long time. We've been Bandit. We got to talk this boxing, man. What's good, bro? How's everything? If you got that out there. All right, we'll bring them on real quick. Have a little technical difficulties real quick. We got this lot of boxing coming up. Got the fight coming on Saturday. Spence and Ocampo. Definitely want to get thoughts on that. And then all the other stuff that's upcoming as well. You had the Anthony Joshua fight, Deontay Wilder fight that they trying to they put it together with Eddie Hearn out there in England. Find a venue, a big venue, because you know how to get down in UK. And then, of course, the Charlo brothers and how that's going to go down in each division that they're in. Abandon, what's good, man? Let's talk some of this boxing. How's everything, bro?
How is you, man? I'm good.
Yo, let's talk about real quick. What are you expecting? We're going to get through it. Every upcoming big fight in the next couple of months. But what, the fight with Spence and Ocampo, I'm pretty sure you're expecting the Spence win, but I know you're a huge, big follower of Errol Spence. Tell him why he's so dangerous, man.
The reason he's so dangerous is because he's a technical fighter. He can fight you any style. You know what I mean? And he does something that a lot of guys really don't do. He concentrates on your body. He, like, he wears you down. You know what I mean? I think right now he's the best thing in boxing, in my opinion. He's the best thing in boxing.
The entire sport.
Because he got every facet down to a science. You know, even though he's young, I think what I'm seeing right now even though you got Lomachenko, a lot of people are Lomachenko fans, you know what I mean? He's a great fighter, but I think Errol Spence, I think he got it. He's what I've been looking for in boxing for a long time, somebody who could be dominant. I'm talking about a dominant puncher boxer.
Absolutely. And just the fact that when he got, last spring, when he went to England and pretty much took beat the crap out of Kell Brook later in those rounds and broke his eye socket, what Triple G was working on at the time. The fact that he's willing to go anywhere to get that fight and anywhere to take a belt. And as technical as he is, we saw what he did to Chris Algieri back in Brooklyn a couple of years ago, Van Heerden and Phil LoGreco. And some of those, remember those premier fights they used to put on the major networks like NBC, CBS, when he was fighting on there. He was fighting in Barclays Center in Vegas. He's technically sound. He's very dangerous. Like you said, he goes to the body. He works on the side. And he can fight at any pace, and he's relentless. And he does it so calm and so cool about it. You know what I'm saying? So, and then let's even go back to the last fight with Lamont Peterson earlier this year. And just the way he just took it to him. It was really no, and they're real cool, man. And Peterson, decent fighter. He's kind of respectable in the sport, but this welterweight division, and then the way he's going through these guys, man. I mean, who do you see in the foreseeable future that could give him any sort of, some sort of test? It won't be this Carlos Campbell guy. I'll tell you about him after that. But what about this welterweight division? Because it's one of the better divisions right now in boxing.
The welterweight division is definitely, to me, the most dangerous division, and I tell you why. At 147, I say between 145 and 150, they could be a catch weight. That's dangerous for a welterweight because you got the junior welterweights and you got some middleweights that are creep down there and can be potential fight for you. It's a lot of talent in the welterweight division, but to me, it's too many belts. It's too many belts because you got guys fighting guys, and you like, why? When there's talent elsewhere, you know what I'm saying? Like guys like Sean Porter. I even take you back. Mm-hmm. Timothy Bradley just retired because he couldn't find no fights. You know what I mean? Right. So I mean, it's talent out there. It's these guys willing to fight, and that's what I like about Errol Spence and Lomachenko. And Lomachenko and Errol Spence, what they're doing is they're calling people out and they're sticking to it. You know what I mean? And when you call somebody out and you don't want to fight, we all know why. You know what I mean? But it shouldn't be. That's not boxing. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in it, granted, to make the money, but you're a champion. Fight the champions. Don't fight no cab driver or librarian. You know what I'm saying? It's a boring fight. You know what I'm saying? For the people who's paying top dollar to go see you fight. And you're going to fight somebody that you could beat in your sleep. And that's what I think about. That's what I think was going on now.
Yeah, you got a couple of belts that are vacant. And it's always been the case of the last 15 years that there's too many belts. And here's the thing. Here's the catch about that. There's too many belts, and there's too many regulations with those belts with the different organizations, with the WBA, the IBF, the ring, so on and so forth. I would like to see them shrink it or kind of consolidate those belts so you could really have legit title chances or title fights or guys going to fight the title guy. So if we're talking about the welterweight at the division right now, because Keith Thurman, that's a guy we saw when he fought Garcia, and seeing him go in and out of the division and being injured and not have to relinquish the belt. He's the top champion at this point right now. But I would agree with you as far as skill for skill. I will put Errol Spence against any of those guys in that division. And that includes the new guy, Terrence Crawford. And I'll get to him in a second. But focusing on the fight on Saturday, because Carlos Campbell watched a couple of his fights over the time. I mean, this guy's not going to win. This would be honest. All right, he's undefeated. This is the first time fighting on U.S. soil. All his fights pretty much has been Mexico and down. When he fought Flores, there's nothing really in his style that really would scare or shake Errol Spence. He's really wild with his swings. He throws a lot of arm punches. And even when he went to the body, he left himself too open for a guy like Errol Spence, who was going to just come right up inside and just knock him inside his head, his jaw, his body, his ribs, all that. And even in the fight versus Paez, because Paez is a smaller style fighter, and Ocampo just towers over him. He never used his reach to his own height advantage. And the sad thing about Carlos Ocampo, he's got a decent size for that weight at welterweight. Here's the thing. He has bad technique, man. He does too much of that arm punching, like I said, and with his height advantage, he doesn't take advantage of that, and he has no knockout. His knockout rate is pretty low for a guy that's undefeated, and that's not going to work against a guy who's relentless like an Errol Spence. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. these guys that I think the United States got a stranglehold on a boxing game because you got a lot of these guys. Now, don't get me wrong, you get every now and then you get a Lomachenko, you get you know what I mean, you get your Mexican fighters that come along and become great. But for the most part, the United States got a stranglehold on boxing because the grit that some of these guys have in boxing over there in them other countries, some of them guys, you know, they just run roughshod over their country, you know, because the talent's not there. Other than Cuba, the talent's not there. And I think him coming over here, it's going to be a disadvantage to him. Like you said, coming to U.S. soil, you know what I mean, coming into somebody's backyard, and to fight somebody like an Errol Spence, that's doubly bad. I think, like you said, he throws too many arm punches and he makes too many mistakes for a guy that's technical and sound like an Errol Spence.
Yeah, this fight's not going to go long at all, man. I don't expect it to go past 3 or 4. Even if it knocks him out, they're going to stop the fight. Errol Spence is too quick for him as well, on top of that. One thing I want to add on, because of the fight last week, Terrence Crawford going up to 147. He cleaned out 140. You know, we saw his knockout on Julius Odongo last year, and you saw what he did to Joe Horn last Saturday. That was pretty much no surprise. So it's more so about where does Crawford stand in your eyes with the rest of the division. I like Crawford. I think he's top five, definitely top three, top four, pound for pound. And I like his guts, and I like the fact that he went in the direction going up in the weight, because there's really nothing to do at 140 and even lower than that if you want to talk 135 with Mikey Garcia and all those other guys. But at 147, what kind of challenge does he or threat do you see him in the welterweight division that just added on to this division that was already stacked? You already mentioned Sean Porter, Danny Garcia. You already know about Keith Thurman, those guys. What about where Terrence Crawford falls into the ranks with this in 147 in your eyes?
Well, he falls, to me, he falls in line with the Leonards, the Durans, the Floyds, the Pernell Whitakers, meaning that his style of fighting and his agility and his ability to fight you conventional or southpaw is a plus. You know what I mean? That most guys just don't have. The ring savvy he has. I was just questioning, can he translate his punching power to the welterweight division? Now, Jeff Horn, I can't grade him on Jeff Horn because Jeff Horn's a punching bag. And he should have never been a champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
You keep a pock out there to him.
Right.
I need to see him in due time. I need to see him fight somebody with talent, meaning that he can show me he got grit. You know what I mean? He can handle adverse conditions. You know what I mean? The various styles, you know what I'm saying? Then I'll give him a better grade. I love Terrence Crawford. I think he's one of the best, too. Like I said, it's hard to grade him on Jeff Horn. I need to see him against a Sean Porter, somebody with a little grit, resilience, you know what I'm saying, that can take it, stand in your face, and make you fight a different fight that you're accustomed to. That's the problem we see in a lot of these boxes. They never been in fights that they never was accustomed to. And until we see that, we won't truly know what kind of Terrence Crawford would be in the welterweight division. But if I'm just saying today, I think he'll do great because the style he has and the ability to go southpaw to eliminate your right hand. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, time will tell. But, like me and you talking today, I think you'll do great.
Yeah, good points because Jeff Horn is a puncher, man. You're absolutely correct. And I think it's a good strategy to go into a new division versus somebody you know you could beat like a Jeff Horn. And you're right about the Pacquiao fight. And if you're going to do something, you make your mark, you're going to start off right. You start off slow. You just feel it out. Jeff Horn was a good feel. Not even a good feel. It was a good dominant fight. You take his belt, whatever, you look forward. A guy like Sean Porter would be that type of test, okay? Now, we saw. I think that's fair enough because whatever you put that fight in New York or if you put it in Vegas, it's going to draw good. And it's going to get Terrence Crawford more out of his comfort zone. For instance, he fights a couple of fights in the Garden. He had fought Henry Lundy. He fought Felix Diaz. And that was a good fight with him and Felix Diaz before the Julius Ndongo fight. But Sean Porter's a veteran in that division. He's fought like Keith Thurman, and he took Keith Thurman to pretty much the distance. Kept on coming. Sean Porter, you know, you already know about Sean Porter. He's relentless. He's going to keep coming. He's not going to back down. He's not going to take rounds off. And that's going to be the type of test I would like to see against Terrence Crawford, especially in the division. Because you got all these different stuff. Swift Garcia from Philadelphia, you already know. He's kind of starts off a little bit slow and gets into the flow of things. But Sean Porter is like, as round one goes on, he's jogging across the ring. He's gonna work his punches. He's gonna work his jab. He's just gonna make you throw back. You're gonna have to counter against a guy like that. That's a different type of test. Do I think Crawford has the power? I think so, man. Because like you said, I think it comes down to the angles, the unorthodox switching up styles. Switching up stances in the middle round, adjusting as the rounds go. He doesn't stick to the same game plan. He's kind of, offensively, he's going to go up and against you. His feet going to be parallel, and then he'll switch angles on you, and he can hit you from different angles. Now, whether it has a lot of power or not remains to be seen. But I definitely like his chances. Definitely, no doubt, man. What other things about Crawford that you would like to see? Who would you like to see him go up against in 147 as well?
Who the boxer? Crawford?
Yeah, Terrence Crawford.
What are you talking about? Terrence Crawford? I would like to see him fight.
In the 147.
I'd like to see him fight the Charlo, Jermell Charlo.
So you want him to go up more? You want him to go up beyond 147? Because the Charlo is at 154.
I thought he fought at 147. I might be wrong. Uh-uh.
Okay. Yeah, they're at 154. The other one's at 160 at middleweight.
But see, that's the point I'm trying to make.
We'll talk to them later.
See, that's the point I'm trying to make. Remember what Bernard Hopkins did to De La Hoya at Flips Trinidad?
Absolutely.
He was a natural middleweight, but he fought him at a catchweight. And that's what I keep telling people. That's what makes welterweight division so dangerous, that you could be a natural junior middleweight or a natural middleweight and have the body type to go down and not lose the strength, but then you're still a natural middleweight or a natural junior middleweight. That's what's so dangerous about this division. I like Sean Porter. I also like Keith Thurman. Like it's like I said, it's a lot. You got Mikey Garcia coming up. Who else? See, I don't like Danny Swift Garcia because I think his style, he's too slow in that division.
Correct.
And
that's what I said.
For you to have to warm up to a welterweight with the speed and agility of guy like a Terrence Crawford, the fight is over. You done lost the first five rounds. You know what I'm saying? So. It's a lot of guys. I can't think right off the top of my head in the welterweight division. But like I said, it's talent. It's a lot of talent in that division. And we all know Terrence Crawford fought Jeff Horn for the belt because that give you some cushion.
Leverage.
That gives you leverage. That's exactly what the word I wanted to use. Thank you. It gives you leverage when you go into the table.
It's a smart move.
I never I never doubted.
It's candy from a
the
baby.
Move.
It's candy from a baby.
Yes. Yes. You know what I mean? You already a name. Now you got the title to boot. So.
Oh yeah.
It makes for the champions to come out. You know what I mean? You saying you want to fight. You saying it's for the money. You know what I mean? What kind of market strategy do you have? You know what I'm saying? To build this fight. You know what I mean? That's what a lot of these boxers don't have. Even Steve, they don't have the marketing tool to build a fight. You know what I mean? You see some of these press conferences, and you be like, yeah, we seen Ali do this. Yeah, we seen, Floyd do this. We seen this. We seen that. You know, we know it's all an act. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, I want to see guys like Keith Thurman and them come from under their rock. You know what I'm saying? It seems like these guys scared to lose their belt. They don't want to fight the talent because they feel as though they didn't make enough money. Well, you got to fight these guys to, you know what I mean, to build your reputation back up. Because me personally, Steve, I think Keith Thurman's scared, man.
I really do.
Could be. I really think Keith Thurman's scared because he's not a junior welterweight no more. You know what I'm saying? It's like you with the real Lions, man, and they hungry. They want to eat, and I don't think you want to go out into the yard with these guys. You know what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
Listen, we know you had the injury and things like that, man. But dude's calling you out. They're calling you out, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew you was gonna beat Garcia for the simple fact that you killed his spirit in the first round. And Danny don't have what it takes to beat a guy like Keith Thurman who has a one punch power. So,
I think he got kind of comfortable after Porter and Garcia, and then without these other guys coming up the way they've done, like in the Spence and the Crawford.
And you get a lot of these guys also too, Steve. They run out of divisions because who's coming up? You know what I mean? They run from division to division because. I want to fight him. I want to see this guy. You know what I mean? It's too much of that. I wanted to go back, and I know boxing is a brutal sport. I know it. It's a gladiator sport, but I wasn't to see these guys say, you know what, you the best. I think I'm the best. Let's do it. That's what I like about what Lomachenko is doing. I like what Errol Spence is doing. You know what I'm saying? Because they beating you up. They taking your belts. So they want to unify the belts because they saying, look, you got what I want.
Yep.
Let's do it. You know
what
I'm saying?
And I'm beating you up about it.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. They find other people's countries taking belts.
See, so, it's all about
that.
Right. It's all about how confident you are as a champ. You know what I'm saying? These guys taking chances. They not. I'll go back in history with you. Juan Manuel Marquez.
Juan Manuel Marquez.
He was supposed to have fought, I want to say, the Barrero Morales.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to go to France and fight and lost. And from then, he always was fighting uphill to make his name. And I think, to me, Juan Manuel Marquez was the best out of those three, Barrera, mm-hmm. Morales. But what he did, he killed his career by going to France and fighting that guy and lost. Because now everybody's saying, all right, we heard of Marquez, but so – you know what I mean? Well, meanwhile, Eric Morales, Marco Arturo Barrera, they get major fights. You know what I'm saying?
They and Marquez. That's another layer to it. The promotions those guys have. That's another.
Right. But you lost that fact when you went over to France and fought that guy. You know what I'm saying? Because now everybody's saying, what? You ain't undefeated no more. And who did you lose to? You know what I mean? That's how they look at it. And I think that up until the Pacquiao fight, Marquez was just another name. And I think he had a hell of a talent in that division. You know what I mean? To be that guy everybody was talking about in Barrera and Morales.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me ask you this. No, say that point because I have a quick question. We got a couple more minutes. I was going to ask you.
I was saying that when you're a champion, go after the champions. Don't go because you think that's the right move. That's not the right move. The right move is to fight the guy that's of quality. You lost to the guy that wasn't of quality. You know what I mean? For the sake of fighting. And that's what happened. And you know what I mean? So when Lomachenko and Errol Spence saying, oh, I want to fight this guy or I want to fight that guy, you know what I mean, because that guy is the champion and stuff like that, That's what we want to see. These guys is confident in who they are and their ability. And they don't care where we fight at. You know what I mean? Let's do it. And then I don't see that in too many fighters. I see a lot of these guys saying, well, I ain't really make that money. You know what I mean? So I need a couple of these dummy fights, you know what I mean, to build my bank account. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Beat Errol Spence up. Beat Lomachenko up. You know what I'm saying? To be the best, you got to beat the best. And that's how they going through it. Like Lomachenko, he was 11-1, 12-1, but look at all the dudes he beat already. Gary Russell Jr., Nicholas Walters, you know what I'm saying? Linares.
George Linares, on his last fight. On his last fight, yeah.
Yeah. Who the hell else he beat? Yeah. He destroyed champions, man. He beating champions. You know what I mean? So that's the point I'm trying to make, that when he's saying he want to beat the best because I think I'm the best, he's doing it. Thumbs up,
we got to
Lomachenko.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes. Let me ask real quick, what's your thoughts on this part two of Canelo Triple G, and where does Jermell Charlo falls into all this? And what are your thoughts on Deontay Wilder and Joshua coming up fight and Eddie Hearn getting whatever the venue in UK? Because I think those are intriguing upcoming matches in the future.
Well, I'm prepared for WWE and the Wilder and Joshua fight. I tell you why. It's already in the making for the simple fact that you got to fight in the UK and then you got to fight in the US. We know how it's going to go already. You know what I'm saying? Just from giving you a little tidbits right there. You know how it's going to go. I mean, granted, you're going to see them throwing punches and stuff like that, but Wilder already going in at a disadvantage. Unless he knocks out Joshua. Right. He has to knock out Joshua. This is one of those Rocky going to Russia to fight Drago.
Oh, yeah. This is what we're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
This is Errol Spence. You have to go and take it. You can't
wait
on the draw or nothing.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. You have to go in there and you have to handle adverse conditions, you know what I'm saying? And adverse situations and handle your business. You know what I'm saying? It's no other way. You know what I mean? You're not winning no decision.
Nope. No way.
If it looks close, you ain't winning.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Joshua has too much money in it. Yes. If you think about it, if it's a $100 million fight, that's way too much money for him to lose in his hometown.
Now, real quick before we get off, what about Canelo Triple G Part 2? We got one more minute left on this.
Steve, am I honest with you? I was over
the
first
time. I felt the same. Me too, but I feel like this is where the Jermall Charlo comes into play, because I'd rather see that. Whoever wins, I expect Triple G to win again, or he should have won the first time, not that bullshit draw. But I expect Jermall Charlo to be waiting in the wings, man. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to Jermall Charlo fighting Dane Jacobson.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know what kind of fight I'm going to see. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm over the Triple G. I think he's a good fighter, but I think he's overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think Kell Brook exposed him. Meaning that if you have a certain style with some speed, you know what I mean, you can hit him from different angles. You know what I mean? I think Triple G is a robot, in my opinion, but a good robot if you don't have the talent. I think a guy like Jermall Charlo, he punches hard enough to make him realize I'm in the ring with him. And you know what I'm saying? Like I don't think Triple G can really beat a natural middleweight. You know what I'm saying? I think he could beat a souped-up welterweight or a souped-up junior middle. You know what I'm saying? And that's why Canelo, to be honest with you, Steve, that's why Canelo was on that steroid, because he was trying to keep the weight. You know what I'm saying? Be an actual middleweight. So if and when they did fight, you know what I mean, he wouldn't lose so much weight. He would still maintain what he was trying to keep on his body. You know what I mean? It just so happened that they kept giving him numerous tests, and he kept failing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty much – I was over it before Cinco de Mayo. But like I said, in September, I'm not really – I'll watch it because I'm a boxing fan, but
right.
I don't have no real interest or invest in anything in it because the two parties, I'm really over.
Gotcha. All right, we're out of time, dude. We're gonna talk some more boxing in the weeks to come, man. It's good to break this in. This episode is gonna be on our iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher with the Bandit and Rounds of Boxing. I look forward to having more discussions with you on this because we could definitely get in depth with the heavyweight division and light heavyweights and the middleweights and all that, all the other guys, even the lightweights, man. A lot of good boxes, man. It's a good time if everybody can stay off the bad meat and some of the PEDs and the stuff they put in their body, man. So good quality fights if we can have some and they make some, man.
Right.
All right, man. Taking off. Sangre Azul, man. Taking off. We blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.